Good morning. It is 7 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here this week filling in for Joy Cardine. The new year is always a good time for resolutions, and the compilers of the annual Banished Words List have some suggestions for you. Get rid of words and phrases that they feel and their readers feel are overused. John Shibley joins us this hour. He is a writer and photographer at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and the current co-compiler of the annual Banished Words List, overused words and phrases which many believe we could do just as well without. Worn-out phrases are the new normal this year, but with some shared sacrifice, we can clean up that language and win the future, the representatives of that college say. We'd like to hear from you, too, about words or phrases that you've heard way too much of last year. Is there anything in particular that you would like to see added to the list? Or are you the kind of person who finds baby bump to be a useful kind of shorthand? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you've got a nomination for the list, you can also chime in on email. Our address is talk@wpr.org. And don't forget that you can follow Joy Cardine on Facebook. We've got quite a few comments up there already on that this morning. John Shibley, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Well, it is good to have you along for the first program of 2012. Let's start with kind of a history of the list, because, you know, it's got a long story going back to the mid-1970s now.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve, 1976. The person who was my several predecessors ago was at a cocktail party with some faculty.
New Year's Eve, go figure.
New Year's Eve. And they got talking about words and phrases that bothered them. And you know, it was the mid-70s, so there was plenty of leisure suits and, you know, just metaphorically speaking, that they were getting tired of seeing in their classes, around town, in the media. So the gentleman who was my predecessor, Bill Raby, made a bet with them that he would go home that night after midnight, draft a first list of unwanted words, overused words. He sort of added to the term to make it a little more fun. So there were five of them, and he released it the next morning, New Year's Day, slow news day. He was an old newsman. And suddenly, it got picked up by United Press International, but then he began to hear it was picked up in different newspapers, different media, was on the radio. And the next year, he received several hundred nominations to keep this list going. So it had a humble start at a New Year's Eve party, and that was 36, 35 years ago. And here we are today, and we are dealing with close to 8,000 nominations that come in through the Internet.
And now at Lake Superior State University, folks can go to the website there and take a look at some of the archives you've got posted. And I note that back in 1976, Macho was on the list. Not totally successful, but, you know, I don't hear it as much as I did in 1976, I guess.
Well, there are 880-some-odd words and phrases that over the years have shown up on this list. And all you have to do is go to lssu.edu/banished, and you can see this year's list, all the words that have been added over the years, and then there's a nomination form so you can vote for next year's content. So the process never stops. It keeps growing. It's been growing for more than three decades now, so it's always refreshing to see what comes up every year.
And I have to say, the rise of the Internet must really have helped add fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Well, it has. It's towards the end of the last month, we were getting several hundred nominations a day through our website. And incidentally, we did not receive any words mailed into us on postcard or by letter for the first time since 1976.
Really, not one?
Not one.
Oh, my.
We've sort of gotten to the entered the era where the whole thing is done electronically now through the Internet. So,
wow. Has Paradigm Shift ever made your list?
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
It felt like a paradigm shift there.
It does. I felt the earth move, yes. So, but it still has the spirit of what it was intended to do. And, you know, we're not really trying to generate notoriety for words or phrases that have been overused. Some people really find it therapeutic benefit in just getting what's off their chest and some words or phrases that just don't go away. If there's a serious side to this, what we do is to get people to slow down and really think about how they express themselves. So it's done in jest. It's got a sense of humor. So that's the spirit we try to carry it forward with.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like is that people, you know, just plain old folks out there get to weigh in with their opinions. And are these edited? Because, you know, if I read a newspaper article about the political story of the day and then I go to the comments section, some of those comments are really sort of painful to read. But the comments that you have that go ahead with your, that go along with your words, it seems as though they're pretty thoughtful by and large.
Yeah, and they're spirited. And if we've made you laugh with this thing, we've done our job. If we've made you angry, we've also done our job. Because for a lot of reasons, language is a very sensitive spot for many people, and it plays an important role in who we are and what we are and how we carry on conversations, not only with each other but with ourselves. So language is an amazing thing. You can watch it grow. By all means, because a word or phrase is on here doesn't mean you should purge it from your use. You're perfectly allowed to keep using them. In fact, I always encourage people to keep using any word or phrase that shows up on our list. The important thing is just to make yourself aware of how it's used and when it's used and where there is a good substitute. Run to a thesaurus now. You don't have to have these big thesauri that are 2,000-3,000 pages thick. You can get a touchpad now and figure out precisely how you want to express yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I do, by the way, with the word macho, you know, mm-hmm. going back to that 70s. It's a very useful word, but I try to be very precise in how I do use it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the beauty of language. So that's what this list is all about. At the end of the day, which was on our list about, 5 years ago, at the end of the day, it's all about how we parse ideas into little packages that convey exactly what we mean, and language is beautiful for that.
And you know, Annette, at the end of the day, that's one of those lists, one of those words and phrases, and I think we'll hear more of that as we get into it, but as soon as it starts coming out of your mouth, mm-hmm. you know immediately that it's a cliche of some kind, and maybe you'd be better off saying something else, but it is so common and so easy to say, it's just sort of a crutch to lean on, and you find yourself saying it before you can stop yourself.
Yep, That's fine. I mean, that's how we talk. We talk in ticks. We talk. We swing from idea to idea. We sometimes say pauses like that. Nobody's perfect. But the fact that you are catching that before you say something shows there's some editing going on. And language is a thoughtful process. And that's an aspect that we're trying to get across when we put this out.
Well, we're going to get to this year's list of banished words in just a few seconds here. John Shibley is with us from Lake Superior State University, and we are taking a look at the university's 2012 list of banished words and phrases. And as I say, we'll be getting to this year's list in just a few minutes. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, a winter storm warning in effect until 6 tonight for portions of far northern Wisconsin. And a winter weather advisory in effect until noon for parts of far northern Wisconsin. Looks like some snow, particularly way up north. 4 to 8 inches are expected in Mellon and Hurley, an inch or two across Oneida, Forest, and Florence counties this today yet. And a wind advisory, as many of you know, throughout this afternoon for Door County, and lots of wind throughout the state. Otherwise, cloudy and blustery conditions. Lake effect snow showers are likely near Lake Superior today. Expect some scattered flurries and light snow elsewhere. Highs are going to be in the teens to low 20s tonight. It's going to be clearing up and then dropping down to about 10 degrees below zero in the North Woods to single digits above zero everywhere else. Around the state right now, we've got temperatures mostly in the teens. In Oshkosh, it is 17 degrees. In Superior, 17. Madison reports 21. In Milwaukee, it's 17. Rhinelander, it's 12. Appleton, 18. And Green Bay is 19. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Seventeen minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. John Shibley is with us this hour, a writer and photographer at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and the current co-compiler of the university's annual Banished Words List, overused words and phrases that a lot of people believe we could do without. We'd like to hear from you, too. 800-642 1234 is our toll-free number. John Shibley, I'd like to start with the first word on the list, at least the list I printed off, and it's one that I have to admit I'm a little amazed by. The word amazing made the list this year, and I have to say I didn't realize that was a problem.
Well, I didn't either. I guess a lot of people refer to the cooking shows that are on a lot of networks now, and everything's amazing that comes out of the oven. I had thought that it had been dealt with on our list a long time ago. It's a simple word. It is an overused word that applies to anything that has a heartbeat or anything that has a notion in it. And amazing, first time this has ever been on the list. I thought it had been dealt with maybe in the late 80s or something like that. But it received close to 1,500 votes. So there it sits.
Wow, 1,500 votes?
1,500 votes, around that. That was a top vote getter this year.
Now, do you find that when people pick on a word like amazing and submit their comments online that other people sort of weigh in? I mean, do you start sort of a snowball effect there?
Well, as you submit stuff to our page, you can read all the other comments.
Right.
And, I think so. I think people take it. It's sort of like a blog. I sometimes mediate the submissions page, and if it gets a little too, well, people get very spirited. Either they're going to not like the process of us putting together this list. They think we're being word Nazis, and we're not. So, but I noticed that if something gets submitted later in the year, as the year draws to a close, that it's almost like people are browsing the list, and they'll come across something that's been voted for a lot, and they'll throw in their 2 cents. So, be that as it may, amazing, a useful word, but it just is overused according to a lot of people, especially with, I guess I can say her name, Martha Stewart. That's amazing. That's amazing. And she's been saying that for years, but I guess the uptick has been noted, and the list has incorporated this nice word on it.
And some of the comments here are pretty good, too. There's a comment here on your list from a gentleman from Astoria. It's amazing that you haven't added that word to your list over the years. Totally, absolutely, really amazing. Not quite astounding, but still amazing.
And there was a Facebook page to draft amazing into the list. So it really took on quite a life of its own, just like the list itself. So we couldn't ignore that.
Well, what a great word to start the list off with then.
Just with rock counts, yeah.
800-642-1234. If you've got a word or a phrase you'd like to nominate to the list, we'd love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Mark, who joins us from Eau Claire. Hi. Mark? Mark, are you there? Mark does not appear to be there. And let's head to Jack, and we'll give him a shot from Green Bay. Hi, Jack. Are you there?
Thank you so much, Gene, for taking my call. Oops, I just did it. That was my subject. So much. It's so widespread. Saw it on the New Year's Eve show on Dave Clark's Rockin' You at New Year's Eve, where the host, Fergie, said, thank you so much for tuning in, but it's I'd like to hear your guests' take on the use of so much. It goes back to Charlie Chan used to say, thank you so much.
Oh, my, I didn't know that history. John Shibley, is that one that's been nominated?
Well, that's been nominated. I'll give you that. The closest we can go with you for this year is thank you in advance. It's sort of a condescending assumption that you've done something ahead of time. Now the onus is on you to do it. So we'll try to get you so much. Thank you so much on there for next year. Go to our website and start voting. And you can vote as many times as you want. And you can compile as many reasons for us to ban it as you'd prefer.
All right. Very good. Jack, thanks for the call. First caller of 2012, and we appreciate that. You know, thank you in advance was one that I picked up on because I've used that. And generally speaking, when I'm writing an email to somebody and I'm asking them to do a favor for me, I always say thank you in advance. And I never thought of it as being condescending until it was pointed out to me that it's condescending.
Well, and I use it too. I actually do.
So you and I are in the same boat.
Yeah, I actually look at it as being considerate, if anything. And suddenly I'm going through compiling this list, and people are pointing out to me that I've been they've been taking it a different way. So very educational experience for me as someone who has to put together a list from all these nominations.
Yeah, as Mike Cloran from Cincinnati, Ohio points out, it means, in his estimation, since I already thanked you, you have to do this now.
Yes, yes. Like I said, the onus is on the person who's been thanked. And when I first read that reason, I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was being such a burden on people by using this phrase. So, and that's where it's fun to look at this stuff because it provides you with a different point of view.
And I will consider myself forewarned for 2012.
Yes.
We have a Facebook comment here. Lisa on Facebook writes, my daughter tells me I suffer from ORD, which means over-ridiculousness disorder. Apparently, I use the word ridiculous too much. If you ask me, ORD seems a logical consequence of paying attention to political happenings in Wisconsin and raising a teenage daughter. So there you go, a political comment. But, you know, I do hear that ridiculous thing quite a bit, particularly with young people.
Well, yeah, and we live in ridiculous times, which is sort of optimistic because we could live in times that are described by words that are even worse. So a blessing in disguise, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's one of those words that strikes me, you know, because they'll say, oh, it's going to snow out today, and someone will say, well, that's ridiculous.
Or that's,
you know,
amazing.
That's amazing. It's kind of used in that context. But I did not see ridiculous on the list, did I?
It isn't. And even though we've been doing this since 1976 and there's 800-plus words and phrases, some of which have been banned, quote-unquote, for several, the word basically has been banned for 5 years. It's shown up on our list. And if we get something as a regular count and shows up, we deal with it. But ridiculous is not on there. Neither is something called kick the can. I was
that should have been there.
That was going to get enough votes, and it didn't. So it got edged out by some other words or phrases that you see in print on our list. But maybe next year, an election year, we may hear more of that.
I don't know. There were a lot of cans getting kicked down the road in 2011.
It sounds like I'm returning cans to the grocery store some days, the way I hear it around my office. So,
let's check in with Jim, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering if words like like, I don't know if I think is a word. I think it came up in Scrabble or something, but like, and you know. I listen to interviews, and people can say you know 10 times and 4 sentences or something.
Some of that filler that interviewing hosts often use when they're trying to stall for time, John Shibley.
Yeah, and a quick aside, there I go.
See, it's not so easy, is it?
Yeah. It seems like the conversations are so rushed that people probably have to use them because they're expected to come up with these great statements within seconds because of time constraints on the radio. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
All right, thanks for the call. And John Shibley, you know what I'm talking about.
Mental tics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been around for as long as there's been language, but your caller has a point that things are moving fast and furious. And with all the news coming at us and all the media coming at us, and we're having phones and texting and tweeting, maybe that's a commentary on how we think, how we don't take the time to construct the thinking that goes on in our head before we talk. Oh, by the way, you know, 1978 and 1979 back to back. So that has a beautiful pedigree. That was on our list back in the late 70s. So even back then, before the internet and mobile texting, that was a problem.
Well, in my world, it's never gone out of style, just so you know.
Oh, only in Scrabble. Only in Scrabble are these words very, very useful.
Let's go with one. I have to say, this is one, you know, when I was thinking about this story, this one rose to the top before I even saw the list, and it's baby bump. And before this year, I don't know that I'd actually heard it. I mean, do you know the history of some of these phrases and things before they make the list?
Well, the first time I saw baby bump, I was on a website for newspaper in Great Britain, and that actually came to us through the Brits, through Fleet Street, referring to a baby bump on some British celebrity. And I started wondering to myself whether we'd see it over here because of the Murdoch connection, and sure enough, within about a few months, it started showing up sort of a saccharine way of obviously referring to a pregnancy. And I thought I I was able to watch that show up and start become more prevalent in American media, and sure enough, within about a month or so, we began to see it show up in the nomination voting ranks. So that was gratifying. Even though it's an irritating word, it was fun to watch it come up through the ranks.
Do you get a sense of that? I mean, now that you've been doing this for some time, when you see something that pops up, maybe overseas, as you say. That, you know, this could really turn into something. I need to keep my eye on it.
Well, usually they start out as a word or a phrase that they have a nice edge to it, and it's kind of clever the way it's developed. But then it gets overused, and you start seeing it every little gossip web page, every little gossip page, programs. And after a while, it takes on the characteristic of, hey, you know, it's being overused. Let's get some other clever phrase that we can apply here, especially if it goes on close to a year. Then it's time to move on.
And what is it about a phrase like baby bump? I mean, what is wrong with pregnant?
That's true, too. And you got to remember back in the 50s and the 60s, they couldn't even refer. It was controversial to even refer to an actress as being pregnant. You know, it's a nice little, it's almost sounds like you're talking about the baby to be. I mean, it's cute. It's like baby rattle, baby shoes, baby bump. And the readers smile, but then, it gets retreaded so much and reused. It may start out cute, but it gets irritating after a while.
Well, speaking of irritating, we've got a long way to go on our 2012 list of banished words from Lake Superior State University. John Shibley is with us this hour. He is the current co-compiler, I should say, of the annual banished words list, overused words and phrases which they believe and we could do just as well without. We'll be continuing our discussion about that after we take a few minutes out for the news. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine during the first week of 2012. John Shibley is with us this hour. He is the co-compiler of the annual Banished Words List, which comes to us from Lake Superior State University. Every year they compile the list with a lot of help from a lot of people from around the country and around the world. And every year we tell you about it here on the Ideas Network. John Shibley, before the break, we were talking about baby bump a little bit, and we're going to get to calls in just a second. But, you know, do you have a way when you see a phrase like this of kind of predicting what the shelf life is going to be? I mean, are we going to be talking about baby bump in a year, do you think?
I think so.
Oh, no.
it's too cute a word. It goes with the glamour. It goes with the allure of pregnancy. As I was mentioning before the break, it sounds like baby shoes, baby clothes. It just has a certain sweetness to it that sort of attracts you to it initially. But if being overused, it just started getting under people's skin. And so, but I think as a word, it's got a certain charm that's going to keep it alive longer than maybe it should for most people.
800-642-1234. If you've got a nomination for the list or a comment on one of the words that you've already heard, let's start with Dale, who joins us from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Boy, it'd be great to be up in Sault Ste. Marie and have a job up there, so that must take the edge off having to put up with some of these phrases. My phrase is when people are having a discussion about anything and there's just no consensus, somebody will say, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that quite a lot.
Well, it is what it is, Dale. Thanks for the call. And John Shibley, has that made the list?
I am trying to find it. It's all good. It is what it is. Here we are, 2008. So, we've dealt with it, but it's going to be like baby bump. I think it's going to be, 2008. It's 4 years ago. I think 4 years from now, we'll still be talking about baby bumps, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and it is what it is, as one of those phrases that gets under my skin personally. And, again, I'll be having a perfectly normal conversation, and I wind up saying it. You know, so 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join in. You can also join in on email. talk@WPR.org. And don't forget, you can follow Joy Cardine on Facebook as well. You know, one of the ones that, one of the phrases that came out, I don't know if it was this year, but I've sure been hearing it a lot, is man cave. And that made the list. And now it's like wherever a man is at any given moment is a man cave, if they're in the garage or the basement. And it's always something sort of dark with a lot of televisions in, I've noticed.
Well, it doesn't have to have any televisions on it, in it, because my wife refers to my 93 Jeep Cherokee as my man cave, okay? And I look at it as a man cave on wheels, because I can get out into the woods, I can go for shopping for some junk food, whatever, you know? I mean, that's my man cave. It's my extra closet as well. If you were to look in the back end of the Jeep, you'd see a lot of things that are halfway between useful and the dump. So man cave is the polar opposite of baby bump, too. So I think there's a yin and yang going on here on our list this year. But I like that phrase, and I think it's just on there because over the years I've heard it as well. It's just people have just, some of them have heard it enough, so there it sits.
So just a question for in your personal life, when you're in the Cherokee and you're in the garage, is that sort of a man cave within a man cave? Or?
As long as the engine's not running.
Okay, that sounds fair.
I'll go there and listen to some podcasts, I guess, if the weather's bad outside. But I can do that indoors, too. So, but it's a beautiful man cave. I like it.
800-642-1234. Let's go to Woodstock, Illinois now, and Robert joins us. Hi.
Hi. John Shibley, please help get rid of the word functionality. It is the only word that seems to be able to be used in the world of technology. The word function has totally disappeared. The word functional has disappeared. A computer cannot have any functions. It cannot be functional. It can only have functionality. It seems as though we have to add three additional syllables on, and we lose two perfectly good English words entirely.
I feel for you. It was on our list in 2002, and our IT department does use functionality in ways that you mentioned and that you can only imagine. So 10 years ago today, we were talking about functionality, so rest assured we're doing all we can.
And we're still going to be talking about it in 10 years, I'm guessing. But John Shibley, I'm wondering, because Robert brings up an interesting point. You've got some perfectly good words, you know, functional, function, and it seems as though a lot of times if people make things longer and more complicated, they're more apt to use those words and phrases.
Oh, they're filler syllables, they're filler vowels. One of the words on our list this year is trickeration.
Yeah, and I had not heard of that. Tell me what that is.
Well, it comes from the sports world, and I hadn't heard of it either, but I suppose there's a couple newscasters, this is what I'm told, a couple newscasters on ESPN that throw that in. And really, it figured, because when I heard trickeration, I was trying to figure out its etymology, and it's got to be sports. It's got to be sports, sure enough. There's a couple of football color commentators that describe something when it's a trick, or if there's trickery going on with a slick play, they apply trickeration. And I just smiled quietly to myself, because I was thinking, wow, is that like functionality, or is it something that's sort of new and sort of sexy driving down the road? And I haven't decided yet whether I like trickeration or not, but enough people who watch sports had heard enough of it, so that got on our list with 550 votes.
Yeah, a guy from Seminole, Texas on your list puts it in the same category with Robert and functionality. What's wrong with trick or trickery? He doesn't like trickeration.
And he prefaces his comments, why? And that about sums up how most people feel when they feel compelled enough to suggest a word to show up on our list. They've just reached the breaking point from hearing it too much around them.
We've got a couple of Facebook comments here. One from Jennifer, who writes, how about really? And she means it that way, but when people say it ironically, you know, like, really?
Oh, really?
Really? How about that? Because that is one this year where if somebody says something that somebody else disagrees with, there's this sort of pause, and then someone goes, really? Like that.
Well, I'm looking at a word that really was added to the list in 1979. But I have a feeling when you were in the late 70s, you'd say, really? Like far out?
Yeah. Like the way I just said it, for example.
And now it has more of an edge to it that isn't necessarily pleasant. So same word, different connotation, different era. So So if you look at these words long enough that go back far enough, if you've lived through those times, you realize how their whole connotation changes with time.
And we had another nomination for Seriously, which I think is the same deal.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to see if that's been, I have my pad here and I'm flipping back and forth past it many times. Gosh, I could have sworn it was on there. But we'll keep it under consideration, depending on how many votes it gets, if people get out there and nominate it.
Do you see words come back? You know, you mentioned that really was out in 1979, but it did have a different sound to it, and I don't know of a different context, but do words, like, will pop up again 15 years later, the same word with a slightly different twist?
Well, that one rather came to mind. I basically that I mentioned earlier, that was banned five times, but that was a narrow cluster of the late 70s, early 80s, and I think that's just because it wouldn't go away. If you look, it's like traveling through, it's like drilling into a tree and looking at tree growth rings. When you look at this list and you can group them in the years that they were banned, you can sort of say, oh, I remember that. I remember the context. And if you look at the all-time word list, you'll stumble on those. Yeah. I mean, this thing has been out for three decades, almost a generation, and words evolve over time. Words take on different meanings. Words reconnect. I don't think I've seen pet rock come back, even though there are a lot of students on campus who find that notion kind of cute. You remember those?
I do indeed.
And that was thrown in as a word that was on probation back in 1978. So you see things like that, and things are retro. So who knows? Maybe we'll see a couple of words or phrases come back just by virtue of the fact they meant something completely different 30, 40 years ago.
Let's go to Sabrina now, who joins us from Eagle River. Hi.
Hi. The word I said is overused is ginormous or other hybrid of a large.
Well, congratulations. It's on this year's list.
Yeah, ginormous. That is one. And thanks for the call, by the way, Sabrina. That is one I have to say I have intentionally never said that out loud.
I haven't either. My wife does say it. And she thought I was picking on her when I brought home a draft of the list, and there it was. Oh, you're putting that on there because I say it all the time. Oh no, I'm just doing my job, ma'am. But ginormous, I will argue for you for the word because language evolves, and if ginormous is something that people are comfortable with using, that's perfectly fine with us. We can't stand in the way of progress, but it is a sort of an irritant because. On the other hand, there are perfectly great words that are out there now that can tell you precisely how big something is.
Let's take one more call here, and let's go to Ben, who joins us from Nina. Hi.
Hi. I would like to nominate the word utilize for the same reason as the word functionality was called in for. People use the word utilize when really they just need to use the word use, and they just want to sound fancy, and they say utilize. You see it all over the place.
All right. And Ben, is this a recent phenomenon in your world, or?
Gosh, certainly in the last couple of years, I've seen it pop up a lot more, and I don't really know why people use the longer word.
Ben, thanks for the call. And John Shibley, utilize, make the list.
1987. It's been 25 short years since we've added that to our list. But he raises an important point. People like to grab on to $20 words when there's a nickel errand involved. So if you've got time, look it up in a thesaurus and that feels much better. And slip that on, and instead of using utilize, use something that's more appropriate.
Well, I have to say, one of the fun things about this list is I always find something on here I'd never heard of before, and I want to get to it before we have to let you go, and that one is pet parent.
Yeah.
I have no. I read that, and I had no idea what it was. Am I the parent of a pet, or is it like my cat's cat parents, or what are we talking about here?
I think it reflects a lot of boomers don't have kids, and they have surrogate kids, and I've seen it referred to on websites that sell pet supplies. You are a pet parent. Oh, interesting way to look at that. I hadn't really thought of owning a pet as being, my kid. But it speaks to the times. You know, pets are surrogate children, and that's a good way of sort of couching a pitch if you're selling something to make it appear that you're caring for a child when all is said and done.
Well, as we look ahead to 2012, and now that you've been compiling this list for a while, lots of elections coming up, lots of things happening this year that we anticipate. Do you expect words to arise out of the election that are going to wind up in next year's list? I mean, are you already thinking about next year's list today?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was very surprised to see that there weren't more words and phrases related to the election, considering that the presidential election's been really going on since last winter. So that sort of caught me off guard. But undoubtedly, being an election year, it'll be a rich year for those, that kind of phraseology. Like I mentioned earlier in the program, kick the can did not make it on our list. Now, win the future made it on our list. But kick the can, I think, was a grievous oversight. I argued very strongly to keep that on the list, and it fell to the sidelines because there were other things that got more votes. But, yeah, election years are be prepared. Strap yourself in. And make sure your molars are all, you know, you've got your crowns all set, because there's going to be some teeth grinding moments coming up, and undoubtedly you'll see some of the results of the election year on next year's list. But it's all up to your listeners, so vote early and vote often.
All right, very good. And that website for people who'd like to chime in?
www, which goes without saying, .lssu.edu/banished. And that'll get you right where you can read this year's list, all the other year's lists, the all-time word list, but most importantly, nomination form to kick in votes for next year's list.
Well, John Shibley, thanks so much for joining us this hour.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
John Shibley from Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And we've been talking about the university's annual Banished Words List. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather, a winter storm warning in effect for until 6 tonight for portions of far northern Wisconsin. Looks like 4 to 8 inches of snow way up north. Winter weather advisory near the Green Bay area in Oneida, Forest, and Florence counties, and a wind advisory in effect for Door County this afternoon. Today, it's going to be cloudy and blustery, lake effect snow showers likely near Lake Superior, otherwise scattered flurries and light snow elsewhere. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's time for the Monday morning wake-up call, and we highlight an issue that could use a little more attention. Today, making sure that your electronic junk winds up where it's supposed to. The importance of electronics recycling, or e-recycling. Sarah Murray is with us. She is the coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin. It's a statewide manufacturer-funded program that recycles an awful lot of electronic gear that we use every day, things like computers and cell phones. Sarah Murray, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it is good to have you along. And I want to talk about this idea of e-cycling because, you know, if you go back, oh, I don't know, even 10 years ago, I suppose, I'm not sure that we had two things, kind of the sheer amount of electronics in our lives. And secondly, that we cycled through them quite as quickly as we do. You know, now if a cell phone's 2 years old, it's obsolete and it's worn out.
That's very true. And a lot of folks, the EPA has looked at this issue for a number of years and puts electronic waste as one of the fastest growing components of the waste stream. And just the volume of electronics being sold has been increasing dramatically in the last decade or so. And then luckily, also, the number of electronics recyclers and the options available for recycling the electronics has also grown dramatically, I would say, especially within the last 5 years.
And tell me about how the e-cycling program has developed here in Wisconsin. I know it's funded by manufacturers. What is it that you do day in and day out?
Sure. So I work at the DNR, and we administer this program that requires electronics manufacturers of mostly TVs and computers and printers sold to households. Those manufacturers have to register each year with the state, and they have to pay to recycle a certain amount of electronics based on sales. So electronics manufacturers that sell more, some of the household names you'd recognize, have a certain target each year in the state, and they work with a network of collectors and recyclers to recycle that number of pounds of electronics each year.
And when we're talking about recycling electronics, first of all, why is it important that we do that? Why don't we just toss these things into a landfill? And secondly, when we're recycling, what sorts of things are we pulling out of those electronic pieces of gear?
Sure. There's a couple good reasons to recycle. One is that there are valuable materials in many electronics. There are metals, plastics, glass, other components that can be pulled out, reused, recycled. And that's important because, first of all, we don't want to put valuable materials in the landfill. That would be a waste. And reusing these materials or recycling them allows us to reduce some of the impacts of getting new materials. So if you have to create new plastics and new metal and so forth, there's more environmental impacts associated with that. The other important thing about recycling electronics is that some of the materials in them can be harmful if they're not handled properly. In the old-style CRT tubes, there's several pounds of lead, there's mercury, other heavy metals, just materials that need to be handled properly, and they can be handled safely by the electronics recyclers.
Are you surprised sometimes that people don't know about this? Because I see people trying to stuff TVs into garbage bins, and I don't have to tell you this. You see this every day, but are people as aware of this as they ought to be?
We'd always like to see more awareness. I think a lot of people are aware, and a lot of people want to do the right thing. A lot of people have been storing these electronics in their basements and attics for a while because they have a sense that they should be handled properly. But, yeah, it is hard when you see things dumped by the road. I think sometimes for folks, they just don't know where to take them or what to do. You have this big TV, you want it out of your house, and for some people they just think, well, I must be able to put it out on the curb. So what we're trying to do is let folks know that there are collection sites around the state that are going to be convenient and accessible for most people. A lot of them are even offering it for free or for very low prices at this point.
Are there devices that cannot be recycled? I mean, if I go through my closet in my drawers after Christmas and start picking out cell phones and things of that nature, can anything be recycled, or are there just some things that aren't on the list?
I would say most electronics recyclers say they can handle sort of anything with a cord or a circuit board. There is a specific list of electronics that officially can't be put in the trash, and a set of electronics that most sites definitely will take, but a lot of the sites will take other devices, random cords, some of the smaller cell phones, MP3 players, and so forth. Some of the smaller electronics, too, there are some sites, if they're not that old, like you said, a lot of people turn these devices over pretty quickly. Some sites will even offer you a little bit of money back as a trade-in for those, that sort of thing.
Now, are these guidelines that we're talking about statewide? I'm always confused by that because it seems as if you're in one part of the state, you can recycle certain things and other parts not so much. And is that true of the recycling for electronics as well?
There's a couple of things that are statewide. Statewide, there's a list of electronics that cannot be put in the trash, and that includes computers, TVs, printers, some of the accessories that go with those, cell phones. So that applies across the state. We do have a statewide network of collection sites. There is going to be some variation in how many there are in a given area. Most of those take the same sort of basic list of electronics, but some do take more. So, yeah, we'd always love to be able to say it's exactly the same across the state, but since this is sort of allowing the marketplace to work, there's going to be a little variations.
In our last 30 seconds, can you tell people where they could find more information about e-cycling?
Sure. You can just Google e-cycle Wisconsin or go to the DNR's website and search for it. There'll be a list on our website of collection sites that are registered across the state. There are about 400, and you can either see the whole list or limit it to just your county or the counties that you spend a lot of time in, and find a spot to recycle your electronics.
Well, Sarah Murray, thanks so much for spending time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Murray, coordinator of eCycle Wisconsin, part of our Wake Up segment on this Monday morning, if you're going to be recycling some of those electronics. The hour was produced by Bill Martins. We had on-air production from Amanda Magnus. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here all week during the first week of 2012, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.